Spain is sending a warship to the eastern Mediterranean to protect boats trying to bring aid to Gaza after they were attacked by drones. There are several Irish nationals on the Global Summit flotilla. Later today, the Palestinian president will address the UN General Assembly in New York. He hasn't been given a visa to travel to the US and will talk instead by video link from Ramallah in the occupied West Bank. That's where our Europe editor Tony Connolly has been reporting from this week. He talked to us earlier. First, about the latest on the flotilla.
Well, the Spanish government is going to launch a naval vessel from Cartagena in Spain into the Mediterranean to go and protect the flotilla, which of course came under attack on Tuesday from 12 drones that were targeting the boats, some 51 vessels altogether in international waters, about 30 nautical miles from the Greek island of Gavdos. Now, the Spanish initiative builds on an Italian decision to send a naval frigate into the Mediterranean this week, also to try and protect the flotilla amid growing international concern about the attacks on the flotilla. Israel, of course, has not commented on the attacks or being in any way responsible, but of course the accusation is that Israel is in some way behind this. Now, Giorgia Meloni, the Italian Prime Minister, she has accused the flotilla of not really trying to help Gazans, but trying to put the Italian government in a difficult position. But nonetheless, Italy has sent a frigate.
Ultimately, Tony, what's going to happen to the people on the boat?
Well, as they get closer to the coast of Gaza, one assumes that the tensions on the boat will increase and there may well be more incidents of drone activity. It's impossible to say at this juncture, but Israel appears adamant that the flotilla will not be allowed anywhere near the coast of Gaza. It will not be allowed to dock there. So one assumes that Israel will take whatever measures it deems appropriate in preventing the flotilla from getting there. The Israeli government have, of course, accused the flotilla organisers of providing comfort to Hamas. They've called it the Hamas flotilla.
You're speaking to us from Ramallah this morning. You've been visiting and reporting from the West Bank in recent days. Tell us more about what you've been seeing.
Well, there's a major escalation, I think it's fair to say, in terms of attacks by Israeli settlers on Palestinian villages, and an intensification of a pattern that has been ongoing for many years, but certainly has increased since October 7th, where Israeli settlers will confiscate and damage Palestinian lands. There's a pattern of small numbers of settlers who will set up an outpost in a valley or in a hilltop and then use that outpost to attack Palestinian villages, to destroy crops. We reported yesterday on 10,000 olive trees that were uprooted by bulldozers driven by settlers. And then there was also a subsequent attack on the village in which a young man was killed. So that is part of the backdrop of the geopolitical tension around the recognition of the state of Palestine by major powers this week. And of course, the Israeli government has threatened to annex the West Bank altogether.
Tony, tell us about the expansion of the E1 construction project.
Well, this is a project that has been in the pipeline for 30 years. It would extend a very large Israeli settlement near East Jerusalem called Male Adumim. Now, it's 12 square kilometres of Palestinian lands that would be seized and confiscated for this construction project. The project has foresees about 4,000 new homes, industrial units, tourism opportunities, that sort of thing. But it's been condemned by the European Union and internationally because it would cut off the West Bank from the supposed future capital of East Jerusalem and would also drive a wedge right through the West Bank and prevent or certainly hinder movement for Palestinians north and south. I've been speaking to one Bedouin man who's received a letter from the Israeli authorities saying he has 60 days to leave his home or it will be demolished and then he will be forced to pay for the demolition. He received that letter in August from the Israeli authorities once the government authorised this expansion. His name is Atala Jahlina. I spoke to him about his feelings about this project.
It will kill the dream of a Palestinian state, taking a lot of land from Jerusalem, and in particular it will separate the south from the north of the West Bank. All these steps will prevent a Palestinian state and break the connection between the south and the north. It will destroy Bedouin life in the area.
Politico reported yesterday that the US president promised Arab and Muslim leaders during a meeting on Tuesday that he wasn't going to allow the Israeli Prime Minister to annex the West Bank. And the French President Emmanuel Macron said any attempt by Israel to annex parts of the West Bank would be a red line for the US, that he'd been given that assurance by Donald Trump. Is that enough, do you think, to stop Israel from going further?
I think it will certainly give the Israeli government pause, notably because Donald Trump is the architect of the Abraham Accords in his first term, and that restored diplomatic and economic relations between Israel and a number of Arab countries, including the United Arab Emirates. Now, the Emirates, as I understand it, have told the Israeli government that any attempt at annexation would be a red line for them and would certainly put the Abraham Accords in jeopardy. So that is something of a constraint on the Israeli government. However, even if the government doesn't formally move towards annexation of all or parts of the West Bank, what the Israeli settlers are allegedly doing across the West Bank is a kind of a de facto informal annexation, because it's pushing Palestinian communities out of their villages, off the land. Some 1,200 have been forced to move from their homes in the year since January, and that is a pattern that has been intensifying since October 7th and appears to be intensifying since the recognition issue earlier this week.
That's our Europe editor Tony Connolly speaking to us earlier from Ramallah in the occupied West Bank.